So I want to bring greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ in the English District, which, as I said, is in 20 different states in the U.S. and the Ontario province of Canada. But especially this day, I bring you greetings from my people at Peace Lutheran Church. A blessing to be able to stay with God's people and to proclaim His Word and to live that life as a pastor. And my kids and wife get to still stay normal in life when I'm on the road. And as much as Michigan is my heart and it is where I grew up, Pittsburgh has been my home for the last 18 years, and it's been a pleasure. I want to thank Pastor Kevin. We've gotten to know each other over 18 years. I've been at my parish since I came out of the seminary, and I know he's been here for quite a number of years as well, and it's a blessing to be able to get to know him as a brother and to serve with him in this region for my entire ministry. And so we just give thanks. Today I want to spend a couple minutes with you talking to you about fear and about superheroes. You know, today in modern movies, they're littered with superheroes. Every cycle of new movies has a different superhero. And of course, Marvel and the studios have capitalized on this with the Avengers. That's a big one, right? And the series are yet to come. The mysteries are yet to be here. And the whole premise of a superhero is that one person with that magical power, whatever it may be, who can change the course of life. Thor, the great good-looking, long-haired, blonde man with the hammer, right? You might have Spider-Man. You could now, they have Wonder Woman, which I grew up with the Clearjet cartoon, you know, which is very old, and I can't believe I'm telling you that I remember a day long past that's old. You have superheroes now. Black Panther is a big movie that has hit the box office and had success. And all of these come with one simple premise: the ability of a person to affect the course of life for everyone. It's appealing in our society today. All you have to do is go to the movie theater or watch the movies coming out, because you will always see some kind of superhero movie. Even in the great trilogy, Lord of the Rings, the premise was the one king, Aragorn, at the end, who saved the world and the world of men with the special power of being who he was. But I tell you the truth, for us this day, even in a world where we have fear over everything in life, fear of health issues, fear of financial issues, fear of relationship issues, fear of what's going to happen next. All you have to do is watch the television to see the next fear. World power war, with all the discussions with Russia and North Korea and the like. Fear of weather. Global warming. Which, by the way, that always rings in my ear when I'm up north in Michigan in the middle of winter, and for like 80 straight days, you haven't seen the sun or a temperature above 20 degrees. But that's another discussion. Fear of many things that would grip us and cause us to not be in control. The disciples in the gospel lesson for today were of the same accord. They were out in a boat, and the waves were crashing over the front, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in some heavy seas before. And to see someone walking on heavy seas, and to be terrified that it's a ghost, which is what the text tells us they thought. And then Jesus approached them. He climbed in the boat, and miraculously, the waters calmed. And what is the words that Jesus said to the disciples in the gospel lesson that was read to you? They were these words: "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, I just want to point something else about this gospel lesson, because later on, the next verse, it says, "For they did not understand about the loaves." That's referring to the feeding of the 5,000, and how Jesus took this boy's poor lunch, which, by the way, I mean, think about this for just a second. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and get some kid's lunch. Come try to get my lunch. Every time I hear that story, I just think, you're going to take my lunch? And look what Jesus did. He fed 5,000. But the Bible tells us that their hearts were closed to this. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Take heart. I'm here." And the waters calmed. What greater superhero can there be than the one and only Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Right? And yet the disciples doubted. Judas totally didn't believe. Peter thought he was tough and that he would die defending Jesus. And at the very hour that they called upon him, he denied even knowing who Jesus was out of fear that they would take his life. And these are the people that saw Jesus in action. How many of you have a King James Bible at your house? Raise your hand. Don't ever get rid of it for this one passage, okay? When Lazarus died, they called Jesus to the tomb. And the King James Bible captures this marvelously because it says, "And Lazarus stinketh." That's the one reason and the only reason to keep the King James Bible. Right? But what does it mean that Lazarus stinketh? He was dead. His body was decaying. And she even said, Mary said to him, "But Jesus, if you were only here, my brother would be alive today." And what did Jesus say? "Lazarus, come forward. Arise." And the Bible tells us that he got up and he walked out after stinking, after dying and decaying. And these are the same apostles and disciples who saw that. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They saw Jesus change water into wine. They saw Jesus do many miraculous things in our age today would be called magic probably. But it was the divine hand of the Son of God. The one who is the only superhero in our lives. The one whose life, death, and resurrection changed the course of life for all of God's people, making it possible for us to be forgiven, renewed, and strengthened in his love. And I tell you the truth. You might say to yourself, "Well, if I saw Jesus raise Lazarus, feed 5,000 men," the Bible says. We know there was women and children with them, so that number could have been 15,000 or 20,000. You might say to yourself, "If I saw Jesus make the cripple walk, if I saw Jesus change water into wine," and by the way, that's another great one, right? Mary comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, they're running out of wine. You need to use your baby Jesus powers." Remember what Jesus said to his mother? "I'll do it this time, Mom, but from now on, I'm doing the work of my Father." I'm embellishing a tad. But he was not happy necessarily that Mom asked him to do this. And I tell you the truth, for us, in an age where superheroes are so popular, he's been with us always. The message of Christ is not new. The idea that Jesus told his disciples to not be afraid, "It's me, I'm here." We know there's a second story in the New Testament where Jesus calmed the waters too. And in that story, he was sleeping in the front of the boat. He was asleep and the disciples were terrified because the boat was going to go down. And Jesus woke up and said, "What's your problem?" And the waves were calmed. My friends, if you ever doubt the power of God in his Son Jesus, just look to the cross. Jesus had the hand of his Father. That is to say, the one who said, "Let there be," and there was from nothing. And as he was crucified, hanging there on the cross, as he was in agony, as he couldn't breathe because his diaphragm was distended and he could not gasp for breath, he was thirsty, the Bible tells us, he was mocked and jeered. And they simply said to him, "You healed people. You raised people from the dead. You changed water into wine. Now use that power, that superhero power, and bring yourself down from the cross." And what makes Jesus special, what makes him the only superhero, is he did what his Father wanted. He gave his life for you and for me. You see, if I was Jesus, and this is why God didn't choose Jameis and Hardy, I would have changed them all into frogs. Just to prove the point. But that's why I'm not the Son of God, because my anger and selfishness would have taken over. And in the case of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the superhero of the world, he did what his Father asked. Remember something about Jesus. The night before he died, he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed to his Father to remove this cup. Take this burden from me, because Jesus knew what was on its way. He knew that suffering was coming. He knew that death was on its way. And he said, Father, if there's another way that you can do this, if you have one more opportunity, Father, remove this cup from me. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. Think about that. And the Father said to him, my Son, I love you, but there is no other way. This is the way. You must go to the cross. You must die. You must bleed from your side. Water must flow. And people must be forgiven. And Jesus said, not mine, but thine be done. And Jesus did what his Father asked of him. He was obedient even to the point of death. And that, my friends, is what gives us assurance that we shouldn't be afraid. About 3 weeks ago, I lost my patriarch at my parish, 97 years old. And I remember sitting at Bob's side. Bob, when I came to the church in 2000, Bob was what I called my assistant pastor. I can't believe to this day that he was 80 when I started, because he drove me to every visit for the first 3 years to get me to know Pittsburgh. He delivered furniture. And I said about a year and a half into it, I say, hey, Bob, how about I drive and you tell me where to go? And he insisted, I'm going to show you all the shortcuts. So for the last 18 years, I've had the pleasure of being with Bob. And right before he died, I was sitting at his bedside. And I said, you know, Bob, I said, you've seen a lot in the church. He said, yeah, I've seen a lot in the church. He said, but I've seen more of God's love than most people. Because where I have messed up, God, through his Son, Jesus, has made it possible for me to be forgiven. 97 plus years later, God called Bob home in love because he knew Jesus was his superhero. A real superhero, the only superhero, a superhero that will never fail, a superhero that is not about the glory, a superhero who gave his life so that you and I would have forgiveness and salvation. That's good news, my friends. You know, each one of us here today, at some level and in some respect, have a burden that we bear, a cross that we carry. And I think ultimately, even the bravest among us like to put on a face that there is no issues in life. Everything is perfect until in those quiet moments in your life, maybe a tear rolls down your face. Maybe fear grips your own heart in a dark place at your house in a corner that you don't tell people about. And you hear these words from Jesus. And these are the words I want you to take with you today as you leave and go into God's kingdom and proclaim his return. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. You see, Jesus is that superhero for us. He is the one who will, who has, and who will again do the mighty work of salvation. He will return and bring us unto himself. You know, John 14 is very clear. Jesus says, I will go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet today you would have 100,000 different ways that people try to sell you that you can get to that point in life. But be clear, my friends in Christ, there's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the superhero of the world. Take heart. It is I, Jesus says. Do not be afraid. If you pray with me. Lord God, we rejoice this day. We give thanks that you are our superhero. You are the one that endures. You endured the temptation of Satan in the garden. in the wilderness, excuse me. You are the one who faithfully held the work of your Father. You are the one who gave his life. We ask you to come to us this day, O Lord. Strengthen us with your grace and mercy. Remind us that we should take heart because you are our God. Help us, Lord, in our hour of need to not be afraid. In your name we pray. Amen. May God the Father, who gives you the great gift of his Son, may God the Son, who gives you the great gift of his life and death, and may God the Holy Spirit continue to bless, guide, lead, and strengthen you this day, now and forevermore. Amen.